Good morning, men.
Good morning.
We're about to kick off the last Friday, as it was mentioned, in our series on Genesis. And I was thrilled to be a part of this. And so in preparing, I was, I'm going to speak about Joseph today. And so I was thinking about what it's like to be a favorite son. So I brought my favorite son, Thomas, with me today. We won't mention he's my only son, but he's definitely my favorite. So a few years ago, there was a head of a large media entertainment conglomerate, and he started to float the idea that he was going to retire. And this kicked off a series of events with his children where they were kind of each jockeying for who's going to take over the enterprise. You know, one of them tried to take over the business, and we really got their personal agenda really got in the way through this whole process. So three of the kids really went at it with each other. The fourth son actually decided to launch a career or a bid to be president, which was a real failed attempt, to be honest. And some members of the Roy family were all fighting for control of Waystar Royco. You might be familiar with the company. It was featured on the HBO hit series Succession. And what we learned from these siblings is they had a deep love and affection and connectedness with each other, but there was also a ton of friction and animosity and jealousy between the siblings. In fact, the oldest son once referred to his three younger siblings as needy love sponges because they were constantly seeking the approval of their father in really the most perverse ways. The show had record high viewership on HBO. It was very popular. It hit on all the deadly sins: gluttony, greed, lust, envy, pride. But still, the constant theme throughout was sibling rivalry and the quest for power. The idea of sibling rivalry is as old as man, and we learn about it in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. And so today, like I mentioned, we're going to look at the story of Joseph. Now, when you study Genesis, Moses is traditionally thought of as the author of the book, and what's interesting is he devotes more time to Joseph than any other player in the book of Genesis. And think about who he was up against: Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. But Joseph gets the most playtime. And in these final chapters, God's sovereignty is a major theme throughout. And so for those of you that aren't familiar with the story of Joseph, I was tempted to try to just narrow in on one little part. But what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you a very quick rundown of Joseph's life, because I think it's important as we study the lessons we can learn from Joseph. So the story starts in the land of Canaan, where Jacob, who was the grandson of Abraham, was raising 12 sons. And one of them's name was Joseph, and the 11 brothers did not like Joseph. And the reason they didn't like him is he was his father's favorite. And the father didn't pretend he wasn't the favorite. The father let everybody know he was the favorite. He spent the most time with him. And in fact, on his 17th birthday, he gave him a very special jacket, which is more like what we'd think of a tunic today. And that was really like an outward sign of affection and almost like an anointing that, like, you are my favorite son. And so these ill feelings just continued to fester up with his siblings. And then Joseph had these dreams, and he tells his brothers about the dreams. And the theme of the dreams is everyone's bowing down to him. And this really upset them. And so they had an idea. They'll just kill him, right? If you don't like something your siblings are doing, you just kill him off. And so they went to go kill him, and in the process, they end up selling him to a group of merchants traveling back to Egypt to be a slave. So really, you could argue better than killing him because they got money in the process. And so Joseph ended up working for Potiphar. Potiphar was an assistant to Pharaoh, and many scholars refer to Joseph working for Potiphar is what we call a divine success, because Potiphar thought very highly of him. But Joseph also worked very hard. But apparently Joseph wasn't also a hard worker, but he apparently was a very attractive young man. And so Potiphar's wife continually hit on him. So imagine going to work, you're at your Christmas party for your company, and the boss's wife is hitting on you, right? What a predicament. So he did the right thing. He turned her down. And after turning her down multiple occasions, she got very frustrated, went to her husband and said, "He's hitting on me." So what did Potiphar do? He throws Joseph in jail. So Joseph ends up in prison, but God is still with Joseph through this time. And he earns the respect of the warden, and the warden makes Joseph the second in command in prison. But he also gets to know the other prisoners, and they have these dreams, and he interprets the dreams for them. And he's quick to give God the glory when he does it. He says, it's not me that can do this. God can do this, but God is telling me what your dreams are about. This ultimately is how Joseph gets out of prison. Because Pharaoh's having dreams. He's confused about what they mean. One of the former prisoners remembers meeting Joseph. I was like, oh, I know a guy. He can interpret dreams. They bring him out of prison, and he sits down with Pharaoh. Pharaoh explains the dream, and this is what Joseph says. This is a divine prediction from God. There will be 7 years of feast and 7 years of famine. And the Pharaoh asks, what do I do about this? And he's like, we have 7 years to prepare for what's going to be 7 really hard years of famine. And to make a long story short, Pharaoh is so impressed with Joseph that he puts him in charge of this process. And he ends up becoming second in command in all of Egypt. So he goes from a slave sold to Egypt merchants to second in command in all of Egypt. Now, back to Joseph's family. Jacob and his family were suffering in Canaan because the famine reached as far as they did, as they were living. And so Jacob sends his boys and says, go to the palace of the Pharaoh where they have grains and they might sell them to us. And they actually had so much excess that that's what they were doing. They were selling them off to the neighboring countries. Joseph recognizes his brothers, but they do not recognize him. And Joseph eventually reveals himself to them. And not only does he save Egypt, but Joseph saves his own family. The family, the brothers that betrayed him, he ends up saving them from starvation. And so we see here at the end of Genesis that once again, like Abraham's family is met. They commit a sin, they have human nature, and they're met with God's faithfulness. And in Genesis 50:20, when Joseph is talking to his brothers, this is what he says. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish now what is being done, the saving of many lives. And so as Christian leaders, men, in our family, in our marriage, in our place of work and community, there's many lessons we can take away from Joseph, and I just want to unpack a few of them this morning because I think it's a good way to wrap up this story in this study of Genesis. The first thing we can learn from Joseph is it doesn't matter what your job is. It doesn't matter what your title is. You should treat your work as a way to honor God, and you should work hard at the task that is given to you. Think about Joseph. He was a slave working for Potiphar, and he worked so hard because he viewed it as a way to glory God that he was quickly elevated, and Potiphar put him in charge of his matters. And Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. And then Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. We can also learn from Joseph that as Christians, we should honor authority. However, we always place God's law above man's law. And I think that's what we can learn from Joseph today. Right? He showed respect to Potiphar and the role that he was in. And even when he was interpreted the Pharaoh's dream, you know, many times he still deferred to Pharaoh and said, well, what do you want to do? Right? And he did not let this go to his head. But he never let God out of his life. And at the end of the day, what he did to honor God, and he gave God the glory. We also see from Joseph that doing what is right in God's eyes and not in man's ways is always the right thing to do. And it's not easy, and many times they might even be a negative ramification. And we learn this and see this with Joseph when he constantly and repeatedly turned down the advances of Potiphar's wife. You know, she continued to ask him to be intimate with him, and he turned her down time after time. And he eventually ran from her, right? So we could even learn from Joseph that, you know, sometimes you have to run from temptation, not just try to resist it, but you have to remove it from your life. Because obedience is not easy. And we see that from Joseph, right? Following God does not promise us an easy life, right? But there's many promises it does give us, but there's no promise it will be an easy life. I found it interesting, and another lesson we learned from Joseph is that he always publicly gave honor to God. He did this when he was in prison, and he was asked about the dreams, and he said, this is God's doing. God tells me what they are. When he was being tempted by Potiphar's wife, he said, how could I sin against God? Right? He brought God to the matter. And even when he was with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh asked him what the dreams were about, and he says, I can't tell you, but God can tell you what the dreams are about. And so he gave glory to God. And I think as believers, we need to remember that, you know, there's going to be times when we have success in our lives. It might be professional, it might be personal, and we need to remember to give glory to God when that happens. Because God is sovereign, even in our darkest moments. God did not forsake Joseph through all his trials, through all his hardships, when he was sold as a slave, when he was sitting in prison, when he was wrongfully accused. At the end of the day, God never forsake him. And Scripture promises us that, and we can read it in Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. See, God never leaves us, and he never forsakes us, right? And we're reminded of this in the passages of Genesis as we read about Joseph, because in 39:2 of Genesis, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. But then we fast forward to just verse 29, same chapter, and now Joseph is in jail. And Moses, the author, tells us, but while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. So God was with Joseph in good times and bad. But I think we can also need to remember that Joseph didn't just lean on God in his bad times, but he also kept God in the forefront of his life during good times. Lastly, there's one lesson we can learn from Joseph, which I think, I'm not going to say this is the most important, but I think this is a pretty big takeaway. And this is how the story ends, and I think it's important it ends this way. Don't underestimate the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness is powerful, and we are surrounded by people in this world who do not forgive. They hold grudges, they seek revenge, and as Christians, that is not the way to live. It is okay to not forget a wrong, but it is not okay to not forgive. Because Joseph forgave his brothers. They sold him into slavery. And not only did he forgive them, he saved their life. Matthew 6:14-15 says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. And then Matthew 18:21, you recall Peter was talking to Jesus, and he's asking about forgiveness. And he says, Lord, how many times are we supposed to forgive somebody? Seven? And you know, Jesus is like, 77. And what he's saying here is there really ever too much forgiveness you can give somebody? Right? And so when we look at Joseph, it really was the life of Joseph and what he and how he lived, right? How he was rejected by his own people, and then he ended up like forgiving them at the end. I mean, it really, I think it's foreshadowing to the life of Jesus and the undeserved grace that Jesus would bring to each of us centuries later. So men, Joseph reminds us that God can bring good out of evil. And God will also rise up a righteous person out of the worst situations. Because Joseph lived a life of where he was faithful to God. And despite being sold into slavery by his own brothers, Joseph remained faithful. He trusted in God, and he trusted God that would deliver him from the suffering. His brothers tried to make him a slave, but God had bigger plans for him. God made him a king. And then lastly, I think what this story shows us is that sometimes God's plan for us is not always obvious. And sometimes we don't see it until years or decades later. Because the reality is humans, like, we have a very limited perspective. And sometimes we're like looking for the answer tomorrow or this afternoon or next week. But God sometimes has bigger plans for us, and we don't see them unfold until much further down. Think about from the age where Joseph was sold into slavery to where he ended up saving all of Egypt and the surrounding lands and his own family. All things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose, is what Scripture tells us. And so, men, the challenge today as Christian leaders is, like, what can you take away from the story of Joseph? Do you need to focus more on honoring God in your work? Do you need to be giving God more credit for your success? Is there someone you need to forgive? Meditate on these things and just think about how the life of Joseph can impact you in the coming days. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time to get together. We thank you that the story of Joseph was so meticulously saved that we can study it today and we can learn lessons around remaining faithful to you and honoring you in everything we do and giving you the credit and, most importantly, the power of forgiveness. Please continue to mold the men here this morning and that are online at other locations into the Christian leaders that you intend them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have fun at your tables.